damaging acts that has occurred in the Christian church over the last 100 years is you being told to just ask Jesus into your heart. Many of you have grown up and you've heard that. If you want to get saved, just ask Jesus into your heart. We tell kids that all the time. If you just ask Jesus into your heart, you'll be saved, right? And I'm not going to get in this morning into the theology of where that comes from, but it is relatively new. It's only the last 100 years or so. Sometimes people will say, well, if you don't pray a sinner's prayer, if you don't ask Jesus into your heart, how do you get saved? Well, the church for hundreds of years never said a sinner's prayer and were saved. They repented and confessed, as the scripture says. But what I want to go with this morning is it's not the act of asking Jesus into your heart so much, but it's what's being communicated. I know some will say, Revelations 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you let me in, I'll come in and have fellowship with you, right? We always want to use that as an evangelistic, but it really is, he's speaking to his church already, the church. Well, what about John 10? If we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord. Yeah, but he's saying believe there. He's not saying ask Jesus in your heart. He's saying believe with your heart, meaning with your whole being. That's having this firm commitment, understanding that it changes who we are. You see, I think what has happened is by telling people just ask Jesus into your heart, we've created a Christian culture in America where Jesus is fire insurance, but he's not Lord. Makes sense? I'm okay, Pastor. I've asked him into my heart. I'll escape the flames of hell. But there's no change in that person's life. It creates immature Christians, if they are Christians, rather than those who are pursuing Christ. Paul dealt with this. Well, if Paul's the author of Hebrews, we're not exactly sure. But in Hebrews, listen to what it says, chapter 5. He's talking about some of the theological issues. He says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on into maturity. For many Christians, that's where we're at. We're stuck because we've just asked Jesus into our heart, but we've never really planted, bloomed, grown, matured in our Christian faith. In 2011, this is from a study in Barna, shows that nearly half of all adults in America have prayed some type of prayer to ask Jesus into their heart. And they subsequently believe that they're going to heaven, though many of them rarely, if ever, attend a church, read the Bible personally, or have lifestyles that differ in any significant way from those who are outside of the church. It's from J.D. Greer's book, Stop Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. Does that make sense? Lots of people say, I believe, I'm saved, I prayed a prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart. But have you ever really stopped to say, what does Scripture say? What does Scripture demand? What does Scripture ask us to do? Think about it for a minute. Let me give you some Bible verses to think through. Look over with me for a minute at Luke chapter 9. This morning, since we are kind of doing a topical, we're going to be looking at multiple passages. So hopefully you have a Bible. If not, there's a black one in front, or you can just listen. Listen to Jesus' words about what it means to be a follower of him, a disciple. He just told them in verse 21 of chapter 9 that he's going to die, he's going to suffer, he's going to be rejected, he's going to be killed, he's going to be raised up, sharing the gospel message, our hope of redemption. And then he says these words. He said to all, if anyone would come after me, if anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone wants to be a believer, if anyone wants to claim the name of Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. There's a lot more implied in being a believer than just praying and saying, Jesus, come into my heart. No, Jesus is saying, if you want to be my disciple, I'm telling you, you must die. There's a big difference there. Do you see it? Look over at Galatians chapter 2. We did Galatians chapter 2 a couple of months ago. You may not remember it. He's talking about what it means to be justified with God, and he said it's by faith and not by works. Then in verse 19 of chapter 2, he says these words, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I asked Jesus into my heart." It's not what it says, does it? Look what he says. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Yes, Jesus is in his life, but it's not as if Jesus is just part of his life and he still has control. He says, "I have given up every ounce of my authority in my life. Jesus isn't just in my heart, he rules and he reigns in my heart." Do you see the difference? Philippians chapter 3. Verse 7. He's talking about what his life was before he came to faith in Christ. How he had a glorious legacy. But then he says these words, verse 7. "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ." He's not saying that I just added Jesus into my life and I'm continuing to live the life that I've always lived. No, listen what he says. "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ, being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by all means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead." Listen, I'm not saying asking Jesus into your heart is the bad thing. What I'm saying is that's not what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to die, allowing Christ to live in us, to emanate every pore, ounce, whatever it is that's in us, that everything that we do is because of him, his power, his authority in our lives. We're not asking Jesus in our heart. We're commanded to die so that Christ would live in us. Do you see the difference? So being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lot more about, is more than just saying I've asked him into my heart. It's about I'm striving daily to take up my cross, to die to self, and to follow him. Let me just pause there for a minute. Think back on last year. Is that what you did? Is that how you lived? Was every day consumed with, "I have been ransomed with a price that is costly"? Not with gold, not with bulls, but with the blood of Christ. And he demands that I empty myself every day, allowing him to fill me, to live in me. To be a Christian means to be little Christ in essence. It means to allow his power, his anointing, him to work his gospel through us. if honest, that wasn't how I lived most days, and maybe you might say the same. So let me challenge us with some actions. Maybe that's not the best word. But how can we grow in our spiritual maturity? How can we move beyond just saying, I've asked Jesus into my heart, to saying, I've been crucified with Christ? Or, I'm taking up my cross daily and I'm trying to follow Him. On the screen, we're going to give you six. There may be more. I've kind of lumped some of them together. If you want to write some notes, you can follow along in your bulletin. But the first of these, maybe the marks of a growing disciple, someone who's following Jesus, would be this: the cultivating intimacy and fellowship with the Lord. Church, I want you to know, above everything else, the most important thing that we need to do in our Christian walk, and we need to do in order to be more committed, connected, is to have intimacy with the Savior. That's what he says about, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you're not connected to me, you're not going to bear fruit. But so many of us, we walk daily not really connected to the vine in any real way. I believe in my heart that it is possible to have, and I've shared this last year, I believe it is possible to have a relationship with the living God like Enoch had. I believe it's possible to have a relationship with the living God like Moses had. Moses encountered God daily. I believe it's possible to have a relationship with the living God like David had, a man who loved the Lord, who worshiped Him, who experienced Him, who God was able to say, this is a man after my own heart. I believe that's possible. You look in the New Testament, it seems that Peter, James, and John, of the disciples, had a more intimate walk with Jesus, even with those who walked with Him. I think it's possible to have that intimacy with the Savior. He desires that. He longs for that. He calls us to that. But for so many of us, it's been so long since we've encountered Him. I mean, really encountered Him. The reason we sing is not to waste 30 minutes in the service. It's to give us an opportunity to lift our voices and to celebrate and to have intimacy with Him and say, Lord, You have set me free. You've broken my bonds. Daily in the morning, Jesus would get up and go out while it was still dark to do what? To have time with the Father. Intimacy with the Father. So that He would know what the Father desired of Him. He spent time with Him. If we're ever going to be serious about being true, genuine disciples of Jesus and following after Him, of dying to self, all of those verses we looked at, it starts with having intimacy, because you see, when we love Jesus, when we know Jesus, all these other things will kind of overflow. If we don't love Jesus and we're not spending time with Him, then all these other things are just legalistic acts. So it starts here, this intimacy. I don't know for you if it's, some will say, well, should I get up and have prayer time with Him in the morning? Should I do it in the evening? Yes. Do it all day. Do it whenever. It doesn't matter. I mean, right? He said, Paul, pray without ceasing. Yeah, you probably, it's helpful to get up in the morning and have some time with the Lord and set your agenda for the day. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Right? But I know, like, Allison and I are totally different. She's a night person. I'm a morning person. So maybe it's better to do it at night than to not do it. Right? So spend some time at night. Get off of Facebook. Get off of doing whatever you're doing. And just say, Lord, I want to know You. Would You fill me with Your presence? Would You fill me with what I need to know to be a genuine follower of Christ? I'm telling you, intimacy is key in being a genuine follower of Christ. Second, if we're genuinely striving this year to be deeper in our fellowship with the Lord and being a disciple, it's going to mean putting off of sin. You see, the more I love Jesus, the more I'm not going to want to sin. The less I'm in intimacy with Jesus, the more likely it is I'm going to be drawn into sin, right? I mean, that's what happens. Think about it in your own life. When you're not living for the Lord, what do? I don't go to the Bible. I don't go to church. I don't want to be around other believers, right? Because you know it's not right. But when you're walking with the Lord and He's ministering to your spirit and you're growing, you're not going to be as susceptible to giving in. It doesn't mean you're not going to be susceptible to temptation, but you're going to say, for the glory of Christ, for the joy set before me of following after him. I'm choosing not to. Paul tells us in Romans 6 that even though we've been saved by faith and not by works, and there's no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, it doesn't give us the right to continue to live in sin. It should be our daily battle. Because I love Jesus, I don't want to sin. Because I love Jesus, I don't want to give in to the flesh. Because I love Jesus, I want to put the old man to death. Right? First John talks about this extensively in his epistle. We can't continue to go on sinning in our lives and say we've truly been changed by the power of the gospel. You see, I think that's where a lot of people, I've asked Jesus into my heart, but I'm still living like the world. Well, you need to check and examine yourself to see if you really have the Holy Spirit in you, because if you do, you won't continue to live like the world. Putting off of sin, as Paul calls it, mortification. How are you doing in that area of your life? A third mark would be submitting to the will of the Father. So I love Jesus, so I'm going to put off sin because I love Jesus. I want to do what he tells me. Look, Allison and I, we want our marriage to be strong. We recognize there's a lot of pressures in ministry and with our children and things that are always coming at us. And so we just really know that the evil one's always looking for a little gap. We really want to be strong, right? And I told her before we went on our little, I don't know what you call it, siesta, whatever, travel around. I said, look, I just want to do what you want to do. I don't really have any agenda, so you tell me, whatever you want to do. Guys, that really works. That's helpful. It made these 2 weeks awesome for her and for me. I just said, yes, Lord, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, yes, dear. But you know, that's what Jesus did with the Father. Jesus, throughout his ministry, says, I only do what I see the Father telling me to do. Yes, he's God. But he didn't just do whatever he wanted. How did he know what the Father's will was? He spent time with him in the morning. He knew who to bypass. He knew who to heal. Don't you think there were lots of other people that Jesus could have healed? He didn't heal everybody, but he healed certain people. Why was that? Because he knew the Father's will. Even in the garden, in the worst moments of his life, and he's praying, Father, let this cup pass, but what? Not my will, but yours. In essence, he's saying, God, Father, I'm submitting myself to you because I know you are a good God and you will do what is right in my life. And I will obey. And so many of us, we don't submit ourselves. Isn't that what he kind of preached on last week? Something like that? So I don't have to hammer it. The submitting to the lordship of Christ. See, asking Jesus in your heart, the idea there really should be that I'm no longer sinner. I'm no longer on the throne, but Jesus is on the throne. But for many people, asking Jesus in your heart just means he's just part of your Facebook likes. He's one of your friends. You got him in your life, but you're not really doing anything he tells you. Fourth mark of a growing disciple would be the renewing of your mind. Because I love Jesus, because I'm putting off sin, because I'm submitting to his will, I want my mind to be renewed. What does that mean, right? Well, the world's full of trash. What we see on TV is trash. I mean, Allison was reading me an article. So many people get their news and they make decisions, not on logic or research, but on what some celebrity tells them. Y'all saw that Jenny McCarthy issue, right? Don't let your kids get shots because my kid got shots and he got autism. And now she's come out and say, oops, my bad, he really doesn't have autism. Well, there's a lot of parents who chose not to give their kids shots. And some of you may have done this, but not because of Jenny McCarthy, but there are people who did it because of, you know who she is, right? The girl at New Year's Eve who goes around and kisses guys on the Dick Clark thing. A former playmate, right? She was MTV girl. She, like, dated Ace Ventura, right? I mean, so she came back and she said, don't do this, right? Oh, I'm sorry. There's a lot of trash out there that we buy into. And maybe even if we're not intentionally, commercials, TV shows. I mean, man, we were watching the other night Twilight Zone, right? Just, I don't know, New Year's Eve night, a special. Allison had never seen any of them. They still slept in different beds. Now you have men in the same bed. We watch those shows, even as believers. Renewing our mind is what Romans tells us to do. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, putting trash out, allowing the word of the living God to come into our minds, right? If we love Jesus, if there's intimacy, we want to do what he's telling us to do. We want to put off sin. How do we know what to do? What do we know? How do we put off sin? The Bible tells us. Don't do this. Do this. Live this way. Love this way. Forsake this. Pursue this. So the renewing of our minds means being in the Bible, memorizing the Bible, meditating on the Scriptures. Y'all, it's only two things are going to last, men's souls and the Word of God. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but as 1 Peter tells us, the Word of the Lord endures forever. It's not going to change. Times change, people change. What people say is going to change, but you know what? God hasn't changed and His Word hasn't changed. If we know what His Word says and we stand on His Word, we will be right regardless of what culture tells us. You see it all the time. How are you doing? Right, we put on our Facebook page opportunities for you to say, here's a reading plan I want to do 1 year, 2 years. I want to read the New Testament this year. I want to read Old Testament, New Testament. It doesn't matter. You're not in a race with anybody. Just be in the Word so that the Word would be in you, so that you'll be transformed by the Word. A fifth mark of a growing disciple, somebody who's taken up their cross following after him, is they're going to be sharing the hope of the gospel. Right? I mean, Jesus, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Right? We know this. Therefore, do what? Hang out in your churches and have fellowships and wait till I come again. He says, what? Go, therefore, and make disciples. I'm leaving you here because I have set prisoners free. The gospel sets them free. It moves them out from death and brings them to life. It moves them from slaves. It causes them to be adopted sons and daughters of the King. How are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? We're the mouthpiece. Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. It's not just about checking off a list and saying, oh, I've shared with somebody, but it's because we love Jesus, because we know what he's doing in us, because we're being changed by him, because we're submitting to him, because the word is changing us, that we want other people to experience that. Right? You find something good in your life, you tell other people about it. Something that has to do with health or some type of financial thing, right? You pass it on. What about the most important thing? Let me tell you what's happened to me spiritually. God has taken a sinner like me, and he's transformed me, not by my works, but by him working powerfully in me. And you can have that same relationship as well if you would confess your sins and believe in Christ and pursue after him. Sixth mark of a growing disciple would be they're going to be serving others. Because I love Jesus and I'm putting off sin and I'm submitting to his will and I have the word in me and I'm seeking to share that with other people, I'm going to want to serve. Remember 1 Corinthians says every believer has been given a spiritual gift, at least one, so that you can be superheroes. No. What does it say? You've been given a spiritual gift for the mutual edification of the body, to build up Christ's body. Every one of you in this room have some type of gifting, empowerment from the Holy Spirit to be used. And you've chosen at this point in your time to be at this church. So the question is, how are you using the giftings that God has given you to bless these other families in here? Look around. They need you to minister, to use what God has given you to minister to them. And you need them to use their gifts to minister to you. Maybe it's on a praise team. Maybe it's working in the nursery. Maybe it's helping in the fellowship on the donut team. Maybe it's helping with choir. Maybe it's helping in Sunday school. Maybe it's helping with student ministry, right? Maybe it's helping with ushers or working in the parking lot, right? There's lots of areas you can use your gifts, and there's no gift, no anointing, no empowerment that's not significant. Well, the toe looks at the mouth, and you get to speak, and I'm hidden in a shoe. Yeah, but without your toe, you don't walk, right? Without greeters at the door, people come in, and they're like, this church is cold. There's no small ministry. Think about that. This last year, if you're a believer in Christ, have you been pouring yourself out for others, ministering to others? Are you just like a sponge? You're just absorbing Sunday school and sermons and all this other type of things, but you're not being poured out for the gospel's sake. If not, why not? Why not? And this church needs you. And you need us. We're family. Let me just ask you two questions and we'll be done. With some of these thoughts, what areas of your life would you say need to change in order for you to be a growing disciple of Jesus in 2014? And maybe you can't just answer that right here on this moment, but maybe you need to reflect on that. But do it today before you start getting too much into the year and the pattern and you lose the newness. Really, there was no difference between December 31st and January 1st. It's just the clock struck 12. But in our minds, it's like a reset, right? We're moving towards hurricane season again, right? But it's also kind of a spiritual reset. So don't miss it. What do I need? God, Lord, where am I at with you? That's really the most important resolution you can make, change you can make. What does it profit a man if he gains fame, health, all these things, but he doesn't grow in his faith, his walk, his spiritual development? You can get really built, you can have a lot of money, but if you don't really walk with the Lord, there's no value. Godliness is of great value, both in this life and the life to come. What areas do you need to change? And the second question would be this: what action steps will you begin implementing today in order to make those changes, in order to grow? It's one thing to know what you need to do. It's another thing to take steps to address it. I've got to fix the screen on our patio. The boys all the time are throwing balls through it. I know I need to do it, but until I actually get the little roller and get the screen, it does me no good, right? Same thing in your spirit. I know I need to read the Bible, or I know I need to spend time with the Lord, or I know I need to put off this sin. Okay, well, what are you going to do it? See what I'm saying? That's what we're asking you to do today. What is it you need to do? And I would tell you this. Of all those six, boy, start at the top. Cultivate that intimacy with the Lord. And I'm pretty confident that as you grow with Him, He's going to tell you what you need to do. He's going to show you what action steps to take. He's going to show you what things to eliminate or what things to add. I started with a pretty harsh statement, and I just want to close with this. Some of you here today, you may have asked Jesus in your heart, but you've never truly trusted Him as your Savior. You never really died to self and followed Him. You've never really taken up your cross. Maybe today what you need to do for the first time is say, Lord, here I am. I don't want you just to be in my heart. I want you to be in my all in all, and I want to give my life to you, and I want to submit to you. I want to obey you. I want to be used for your glory. That's what it really means to be a believer. Not just have Him as fire insurance, but say, Lord, you are Lord of my life. Lord means Lord. You're Lord of my life. Here I am. Take me, Lord. Here I am. Use me, Lord. Isaiah 6, here I am, Lord. I am yours. Redeem me by the power of the gospel. Redeem me by the blood of Jesus. Transform me, renew me, make me whole. Lord, here am I. Some of you are believers, but you've not been walking with Him. You've been immature. You've been in that baby stage for too long. And maybe you need to say, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to make strides to grow in my walk. It doesn't matter if you've been a believer 40 years. You still may be immature spiritually. Lord, this is the year I'm going to grow deep with you. This is the year Christianity is not just going to be that I'm a Christian, but it's going to be that I have abundant life because I'm connected to you. I don't know what the Lord's really sharing with you or where you're at this morning, but here in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to sing again, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And as we sing that and as we think about it, maybe some of you just want to come and pray and say, Lord, I'm giving myself to you, or Lord, I've been dealing with this, or Lord, I just need you. You want to talk, Jonathan will be here, I'll be here. Some of the deacons will be around the room. You can pray with them. But let's use these moments before we walk out of this room and go eat donuts and go do whatever else we're going to do today. Say, Lord, I'm listening. What do you want me to do with what I've heard today? Let's pray. Father, I'm asking for your glory that us as a church would not be people who say, Lord, Lord, but when we enter into your presence, you say, I never knew you. What a horrific shock so many will experience. Because they think by just saying, I've asked Jesus into my heart, that it's enough. But Lord, you demand so much more. Lord, in this body, grow us up in our faith. Mature us as your believers. Use us for your glory. And Lord, let it start today. Pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.